Okay, thanks very much. Well, we're running a bit late, so I shall keep my comments to a minimum. These are three very interesting and challenging talks, and it seems to me they're actually challenging the idea of the limitations of science, of science, of analytical approaches to risk, of numerical approaches to risk. And I think this is a really valuable discourse to have. I've got this job as the public understanding of risk, and since I've had the job for 3 years, I think I've gone a bit native by mixing with social scientists, and that may be reflected in many of the points I make. I'd like to start with Dougal's comments, which is Dougal's probably the most gung-ho scientist that we've heard this evening. Modelling statistical models, extreme values, very nicely pointing out the limitations of normal distributions, etc. But also pointing out the difficulty of communicating these analyses to people who have to make decisions. He's saying we need a new language for this communication, but putting a lot of store on essentially insurance-based approaches to risk. Now, this is very valuable, but I am concerned with that in the sense that when people are insuring, they have to decide essentially what premiums to set. The limitation is in terms of these numerical assessments, and they're not concerned with such a broad range of possibilities as David was pointing out, that any minister and politician really has to consider. Now, I know Dougal was fully aware of that in that final analysis, but I think it really comes into what John was saying, again, about trying to put numbers and put possible events on this risk matrix because of can we actually put numbers on these events? You notice the one from the World Economic Forum actually put the probabilities along the bottom. The Cabinet Office does not publish the probabilities, but those probabilities are actually sitting there, at least in broad orders of magnitude, and I know that because I was part of the team trying to do the volcanic ash ones. And even John was admitting that when we're trying to put these things on the risk register, maybe in fact all we can do is put a big blob up. Given the real uncertainties, these deeper uncertainties about what the outcomes might be and what actually the risks are. So the nice insurance-based idea where you're actually coming up with a probability, something that you can actually source at a premium on, actually becomes very difficult when you're dealing with these much deeper uncertainties. And that's why I actually like the Ortwin-Renz analysis, who comes from a social science background. Notice many of he was drawing blobs up, I mean big blobs, reflecting areas where there's not only deep uncertainty but deep dispute about the values of the consequences that might occur. That's why he was deliberately proposing for some of these issues a deliberative approach rather than a science-based approach, where actually acknowledging the limitations of science to deal with many of these really challenging issues. And so I suppose I'd like to ask John, again, he raised the issue of the limits of quantification. When you're saying reasonable worst case, what does that actually mean? Can we put a number? Does that mean one in 200? And if we try to put things like, I actually like that approach, I like the insurance-based approach, but actually, is that restricting how we view these events? Is that trying to quantify too far? And can we actually then communicate the fact that these enormous number of assumptions underlying this quantification? And that really brings us, I think, my to David's analysis, in which one of his statements that analysts have to do is to disclose fully the limitations and caveats of the assessment. And I think this really comes to the nub of the matter. How is this to be done? How are we going to acknowledge as scientists, analysts, trying to perhaps take an insurance-based approach forward, which sounds very attractive, and yet we know we're relying on assumptions that we know are assumptions and probably not the case. So I've been wrestling with this in many areas because it's to do with acknowledging what you might call indeterminacy and ignorance, not just the standard methods of analysis. Let me just put one of these things, my little picture up. The standard methods of analysis, sort of perhaps insurance-based analysis, would be to acknowledge we can't predict exactly what's going to happen, but we can build models with parameters, alternative model structures, and we can do sensitivity analysis. We can perhaps use catastrophe models to be able to produce a risk matrix and allow for uncertainty in the parameters and the scenarios. But all of these are essentially secrets. They're all, I really like that idea because it's to do with what you might call epistemic uncertainty. They're all uncertainty that could be resolved upon further information and knowledge and data. However, that's only part of the story. And as scientists, we tend to stick at this level of part of the story. We've got the part of the story of acknowledged inadequacies, what's been mentioned as things we know we haven't put into the analysis, the methane cycle in climate models, etc. So, and you could call that perhaps indeterminacy. We could list these. We could say that these things, we haven't put them in because we don't know how to quantify them, but we know they might be influential. But that's not all. We've then got this, you know, this thing surrounding the whole thing, is the fact we don't know what's going on. And that actually requires an essential humility. Now, and it's not just ignorance about what may be wrong with the model, it's acknowledging perhaps the fact that there would be a totally different conceptual basis for our analysis, that really there are other ways to approach this problem. And I suppose I think, you know, these sort of things were mentioned implicitly in much of the discussion, and I'm just interested in how we could produce a method of communicating these deeper uncertainties, and for those to be carried through the whole analytic process. Now, but also, of course, I think the question arises whether this will mean that one's conclusions, one's analyses as scientists are just disregarded, because, you know, maybe policymakers will want to go to someone who can tell them things with a bit more confidence and a bit more certainty. I think I'd be unfortunate, because actually acknowledging uncertainty about the science does not mean having to be that you can't actually draw a conclusion that you are fairly certain about. So that's tried to cover everything in a few minutes. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.